I'm probably going to be very brief this morning, and you'll immediately say, the last time you said that, it was nearly an hour. I'm going to try and be brief this morning. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 2, we read about the visit of the wise men, who were they and why did they come? Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. But where did they come from? Why? What was the star they saw? Why did they associate the star with the birth of the King of the Jews? And these are things that many people have never even thought about. Some have read it and scratched their heads. Some people, especially a certain kind of people, have said, quite clearly, these were astrologers. And they saw that the rising of this constellation, there was a song from many years ago. It was all about the age of Aquarius, about how these constellations were moving close together. And on the day you were born, where was Saturn? As if that made any difference to your life. But you can buy a newspaper and you can turn a few pages and you can find the stars. And the year is split up not by months, but by star signs. And you can look up your star sign. And it might say that today you will meet a tall, dark stranger. Yes, and so you bump into someone who hasn't washed lately. Or you bump into someone who comes from Africa. Or it's all a matter of interpretation. I used to read them and I used to work out how this could possibly be. I was always extremely sceptical. I thought, this doesn't make any sense. How can it be that just a few lines in a newspaper can apply to a 1/12 of the population of the country? Assuming that there's a fairly even distribution of periods of time when people are born. It's nonsense. Ah, people are told. That is because that's just a generalization. But you can have a more detailed astral chart produced. And that would be specific to you. It would take into account not just the period when you were born, but the exact date and time, and the position of the planets. And this is what astrologers spend their time doing, and this is how they make their money, by persuading people to give them lots of money, to give them all this detailed information about what's going to happen in their future. As if the stars could tell them anything about what's going to happen in their future. Were we to believe astronomers who tell us that some of these stars are so far away, it takes millions, and some would say billions of years, for the light to reach the Earth. So how can what you're looking at, which is what you're looking at is supposedly so many billion years ago, how could that affect what happened to you, what happens to you in your life all that time later? Even if we follow the scriptures and have to acknowledge that these stars are in fact only a matter of thousands of years old, then why would this have any effect upon anybody? And yet people make a great deal of money out of it, and people spend their lives looking at these things, trying to consider the future. It is said that even people in places of power have relied upon them. A certain American president, Ronald Reagan, his wife was very much into this sort of thing, and some of the things that she was told, she passed on to him, and supposedly some of his actions were based upon what astrologers had told his wife. And we scratch our heads and think, surely not. You mean the whole of the security of the Western world was based upon what someone said about the position of the stars? Oh dear. Well, thankfully we survived. But is there anyone like that around today in a position of power? It's a worrying thought. But people read this passage and they say, well, they saw this star, so they must have been astrologers. They came from the east, so they came from Babylon. And Babylon was the place where astrology began. Well, lots of things began in Babylon. The reason why we have certain things is because of things that the Babylonians did. You can look up the details if you're interested as to the number of things that derive from them. But were they necessarily astrologers? We know that they were not kings. So should we sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are"? Because it says quite clearly they were wise men. And interestingly, I don't know about your edition of the ESV, but in this edition of the ESV, there is a footnote. And the number of the footnote is 3. I'm sure that's entirely coincidental. But we don't know how many there were. There is the assumption that there were 3 because there were 3 gifts. As we read on, we discover in verse 11, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But perhaps, here is merely a suggestion, instead of 3 wise men, each carrying a gift, one carrying gold, one carrying frankincense, one carrying myrrh, perhaps they each had 3 gifts. So if there were 2 wise men, each of them had the 3 gifts. If there were 10, that's probably a bit excessive, but we don't know. Each of them had on their camels, and we assume they were camels, they might have been horses. The people of Arabia loved their horses. But they had gold, frankincense, myrrh, each one of them. We don't know. And yet the whole industry has been based upon 3 kings. And it's not actually found in the text. Why did these men come to the conclusions that they did? Well, first of all, where were they from? There's all sorts of suggestions. Some people say they came from Arabia in the area of Sheba because there was a lot of frankincense there. But with trade, you don't have to be where things are grown. Anybody eaten a banana recently? Please show me your banana tree in your back garden. You haven't got one, have you? The only places, I suspect, in this country where bananas are grown are places like Kew Gardens. You can almost guarantee that any banana you have eaten comes from a Caribbean island where they grow them in large numbers. So if we were to go and visit someone and we took a bunch of bananas, would you conclude that we had come from the Caribbean? No. Because of trade, we are able to purchase things from the other side of the world. It's not as true as it used to be, since 1973, but it used to be that you could buy lots of food that had been produced in the farthest flung corners of the world. You can still buy New Zealand butter a New Zealand lamb. It's the other side of the world. And you think, how can you buy lamb at the same price from New Zealand as it costs to buy lamb that comes from the field down the road? That's bonkers, but that's the case. So much of our food is transported vast distances. So just because you say, they must have come from this place because that's where you get frankincense from, doesn't necessarily follow, because of trade. And there was trade going on all over the place. People were carrying things here, there and everywhere. It seems more likely, I think, that these wise men came from the area of Babylon. Why do I say that? Because in 593 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and his army of Chaldeans, that is those from the land of Chaldea, Babylon, invaded Judah, and they took all the best people, all the clever people, they took them all back to Babylon. And so therefore there were a large number of clever Jews in Babylon. And we could name a few. We know the names of some of them. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Ezekiel. These were Jews who had been transported off into exile in Babylon. They were recognized as being wise men. They would have had with them the scriptures. They would have spoken to their fellow wise men, and they would have told them about the things the scriptures taught. And it might be that these were, in fact, Jews who had stayed in Babylon. And this is entirely speculation, but it's a suggestion. And they would have been familiar with Isaiah chapter 60. And Isaiah chapter 60 talks about lights. Your light has come, in verse 1. Verse 3, nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Suggests a rising star. And you might have noticed as you read further down, verse 6, a multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and frankincense. So is it possible that these wise men were Jews who had not returned, Jews whose families, of course, had not returned, because the return had taken place several hundred years earlier, and that they had continued to examine the scriptures, and one day, as they were looking at the sky, they spotted this new star. And when they saw the new star, this new star rising, their thought was, could this be what was referred to in Isaiah chapter 60? We don't know. That's a guess. It's a suggestion. But it seems more likely that the wise men were a bunch of astrologers who were drawn by their foolish astrological charts to conclude, it's a new king. No, it's much more likely that they were people who knew the Old Testament and people who knew that passage in Isaiah and knew that when the star appeared, this was an indication that there was a new king in Judah, or what was then Judea. And so they resolved to go and visit and take with them the gifts with which we are so familiar. People also love at this time of year to speculate, what was the star? Could it have been some supernova, very bright in the sky? Could it have been a comet? And you get all sorts of speculation, and people say, oh, it was this, oh, it was that, oh, it was the other. And we have to be honest and say, well, we don't really know. We're not given enough information. I believe there was a comet round about that time. Perhaps it was a comet. We don't know. What we do know is that there was something very unique about it. We know that the star was not always visible. Obviously, during the daytime, it wasn't visible. But they went to Jerusalem, first of all. They didn't go straight to Bethlehem. Yet we find, in verse 9 of Matthew 2, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Well, ordinary stars don't do that. Comets don't do that. I think it's more likely, from what it says in that verse, that this was a supernatural phenomenon that God created just for the purpose of guiding them on the way. In the same way that the Israelites were led through the desert by a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, that this was similarly supernatural, specifically for the purpose of guiding the wise men to just the right place. Because when you're going to meet a newborn king, you would do what the wise men did. They thought, a new king of the Jews is going to be Jerusalem, it's going to be the royal palace. So that's where we'll go. So they went to the royal palace and discovered that it wasn't there. And that's why Herod was greatly troubled. Herod was religiously a Jew, but he wasn't ethnically a Jew. He was an Idumean. And he was the sort of person who would do absolutely anything to maintain power. So it even got to the stage where he would have his own children killed because he thought they were plotting against him. He was something of a paranoid personality. And so he'd bump off his own children. And doubtless he'd bumped off a few of his wives as well. He only had 10 during the course of his life. So he had quite a lot of children. And he wanted to make sure that no one overthrew him. When he made what proved to be a wrong political decision by siding with Mark Antony against Octavius, when Antony was defeated, Herod immediately went to visit him and said, not just that he was a friend of Antony, but he was a very good friend of Antony. And if he could be a very good friend of someone who lost, how much greater a friend could he be of someone who had won? And so Octavius thought, this man's someone I can trust. Foolish man. And so he allowed him to retain his power in Judea. Octavius was subsequently renamed Augustus, and he is the Augustus whom we read in Luke's Gospel, who decreed there should be a census of everybody. Herod was a scheming double dealer who would do anything to maintain power. So hearing there was a new king born, he was worried. He didn't like the thought of this, a usurper. I've got to get rid of this person. How can I do it? So he invites his chief priests and scribes and says to them, where is the Christ to be born? And so they quote from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and they tell him it's in Bethlehem. So he tells them where to go, and that's when they see the star again. But he asks them, when did you first see this star? We'll see shortly why he asked that question. So the wise men are sent off, and the star guides them not to a royal palace, not to a magnificent house, but to this humble home. And there is Jesus with his mother and Mary, already having been amazed with the shepherds having visited some time before, was amazed again when these clever people, these wise men, come and they fall down at Jesus' feet and they give their gifts, the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. Now, can you imagine what that would be like? You have a new child in the house and someone comes and knocks at the door and the first thing they want to do is to see the child and then bow down before them. And then to give them gifts, huge amounts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And you'd be gobsmacked. You think, what on earth's going on here? Now, of course, Mary did have the advantage that she'd already had a visit from an angel to tell her what was going on. Her husband also had had a visit from an angel telling him what was going on. And now we find that the wise men, having presented their gifts, they too have a visit, doubtless from an angel, in a dream, telling them not to return to Herod. So these wise men, possibly people of Jewish extraction who had the scriptures, who knew Isaiah chapter 60, which spoke about the king and his rising star, follow that star to where they thought was the right place, Jerusalem, discovered it wasn't the right place and were guided by the chief priests and the scribes to Bethlehem, where the star again appeared and took them to the exact spot where Jesus was. And so they went into the house and they saw the infant Jesus. This must have been amazing, not just for Mary, but it must have been amazing for the wise men. Having the expectation of what is involved in royalty, what is involved in kingship, they would have expected certain things, and lo and behold, it's a humble home. As we saw the other day, the home would probably have had two rooms. The main living area where overnight you would bring in the animals to sleep, and the guest room. And the guest room being full when Joseph and Mary arrived, they had to sleep in the main room where the animals were. Not the stable that is so often depicted on Christmas cards and in nativity plays. So it must have been a shock for the wise men. But the wise men had no problem in recognizing this was the king who had been prophesied, the king whose star they had spotted, the king who was spoken of in the Old Testament. It may have come as a shock to them, but they said, this is where the star has brought us. This is the newborn king. Born humbly, just as we are told by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, that he humbled himself by coming into the world as a man and coming as a servant. We think that if we're important, we go somewhere. If we're important, we think someone should recognize us. And some people who think they're important get very annoyed when you don't recognize them and when you don't give them their due. The sort of people who say, as we've seen before, "Don't you know who I am?" To which the answer could be, "I'm sorry, I don't know. Have you got a purse or a wallet? It might have a credit card in it. It might tell us what your name is." Or you could respond and say, "Well, no, I don't know who you are, but don't you know who I am? I am a prince. I am a son of the king." And they say, "We haven't got a king in this country." Didn't say anything about being a king of the British monarchy. "I am a son of the king of heaven." Is there anything more important than that? But I don't go around blowing a trumpet and saying, "I'm important," because the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't do that. We should be like the Lord Jesus Christ and be humble and be a servant. And anybody who jumps up and down and says, "But I'm important," shows that they're not being humble, and it probably means that they do not know God. They do not know the forgiveness of their sins. Someone who is a sinner knows that they are a sinner, knows they need forgiveness, turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, receives forgiveness, and then recognizes that everybody else is better than they are and treats them accordingly. And they don't go around blowing their own trumpet. So these wise men came, having seen the star, they came to Jesus, they worshipped him, and then being directed in a dream, they went straight home without going back and telling Herod. Herod wasn't happy. Herod was angry. Herod was furious. "There's someone else in this country who is threatening to take my throne away from me." So Herod decided he was going to rid himself of the problem. But before he could do that, Joseph had another angelic visitor in a dream. Verse 13, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So they fled. They fled to Egypt and remained there until Herod died some time later. But Herod, verse 16, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under. Now, someone has suggested to me recently that that was only 45. But even so, what a murderous person. He was so concerned about keeping his own position, maintaining his power, he was prepared to kill people. As we've already seen, he was already prepared to kill members of his own family, his own children. What were a few tens or a few hundreds of infants? What did they matter to him, as long as he maintained power? Notice the age limit. Those who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Well, here's a question. When did the star rise? Did the star rise when Mary became pregnant? Did the star rise when Jesus was born? We don't know. But it gives us an upper limit of how old Jesus was when the wise men came. He was no older than two when they came. He may have been round about one when they came. But the wise men did not bump into the shepherds. The shepherds were there almost as soon as Jesus was born. The wise men were probably about a year, 18 months later. But on the basis of what the wise men told him about when they'd seen the star, Herod decreed all these infants, all these male infants, will be killed, because that way I am bound to get the one born to be king. Unfortunately for Herod, he seemed to have gone increasingly paranoid and increasingly mad before he eventually died. a sad character who showed little or no wisdom apart from how to maintain power. And he failed in his attempt. And he failed because this was God come in the flesh. And God preserved his son. And whatever man can try and do, man fails if it is against God's plans and purposes. People thought when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil thought, got him now! Failing to see that this was God's definite plan and purpose that Jesus should die. Because it was only through his death that sin is punished, and through repentance and faith we are forgiven. But having fled to Egypt, Herod had no chance of killing the Lord Jesus. But but Matthew lets us know that what happened was what was prophesied in Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. You may remember a town in Scotland called Dunblane. And about 20 years ago, a man went into a school and killed a large number of children and teachers. And I think it was the following day, Ian Paisley stood up in Parliament and he recited these words. And even the most hard-bitten atheist was moved to tears. And I think it was said that no one could have said it better than Ian Paisley has said it. The death of young children in that case, infants in this case, is something that is heartbreaking. But it demonstrates the wickedness that lurks within the human heart. And if it is allowed to come out, as it was with Herod, it can be something absolutely dreadful. Just a few thoughts in closing. We read about wise men. They were wise because they recognized God's truth. They recognized God's Savior. Is it possible to be a wise man without recognizing the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? There are very many clever people in the world. There are people who are far more clever than I am. But they're not wiser than I am. Because so many supposedly clever people deny the truth about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We cannot be wise if we do not acknowledge God and our dependence upon him and what he has done in Christ. People look at the cross and they say, but that's foolish. If I were God, I'd never have done it that way. Yes, but we are told that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. God did what he did because it was the wise thing to do, even though we might not recognize that as the case. Why is it people do not acknowledge him today? It's because of sin in the heart. When we look at the world, we see what God has made. We look at our consciences and see what God directs us to do. And so often we have bad consciences. When we consider the complexity of the world, we look at the world and we say, it all happened by chance. It's all an accident. It's just like producing a Boeing 747 as a result of an explosion in a junkyard. It's just like a Jackson Pollock painting. It's all by chance. You just allow the paint to drip. And isn't it wonderful? Yeah, but it's just a pile of drips. Jackson Pollock thought that way, and his art reflected it, unlike Leonardo da Vinci. But would you say that Leonardo da Vinci's masterpieces, particularly the Mona Lisa, was that the result of an explosion in a paint factory? It's absurd. But people say that when they look at the world. They say it when they look at themselves, but they're not consistent. Someone like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Pol Pot, these were consistent people. There is no God. I'm answerable to no one, so it doesn't matter what I do. I'll kill anybody who gets in my way. They're a bit like Herod. They have no consciences. They have no sense of right and wrong, only their own power. This is the consequence of rejecting God. There are no morals. You can do whatever you choose because you're just a lump of meat. You're a collection of atoms. Doesn't matter what you do. But there are consequences because we will one day stand before God. Herod has gone to his eternal reward. That is, to stand before God, to give an account of the life that God gave him, and he will be punished accordingly. We too, one day, will stand before God and give an account of what we have done with the lives that God has given to us. And God will judge us accordingly, unless we hear the voice of God now. God calls upon each and every one of us, whether we're very clever or we're very silly, doesn't matter. You can be clever, you can be thick as two short planks, but God says if you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive you your sins. The world around you will say, that's foolish. But God says, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. What does it matter if people say, you're stupid, you're foolish, you're ridiculous, you believe that? I know my sins forgiven. I know what God has prepared for me. I know I am going to eternal glory. That is what will come to all who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God offers to each one of us today, this morning, now. Who is the wise man? The one who listens to God and does what God says? Or is the wise man the person who stuffs their ears and says, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to know. And at the judgment, will find too late. And they will regret forever that they did that. And they have lost out on the great gift that God has given to the world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take these things to heart. Let's meditate upon them. And let's act appropriately.